Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio, with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth, on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, coming to you from beautiful, windy North Carolina. And it's a beautiful night out tonight, and it's a great night to see the stars if you're in the countryside. Not very many clouds out at all. We have two topics tonight. The first is going to be Astrology 101, and the second will be Imbolc, or Imbolc, depending on what part of the world you're from. So let's first cover astrology. And so astrology has many different parts to it. You have the signs themselves, you have the different elements, you have Mercury in retrograde, you have all different sorts of different things going on here. So you have the zodiac, you have the elements, the planets, the signs, all of this interacts together to create astrology. And let me just get the article that I had up here. I can't seem to find it right off the top of my head here. And my computer is behaving erratically this evening for whatever reason. Okay. So let me go to Google. And type in Astrology 101. Because that's how I found it last time. Here we go. So, first we're going to find out where to start. Where do you begin when you want to learn about astrology? Well, the first thing you have to remember is, as above, so below. The stars and planets have always inspired a sense of wonder. Many cultures look skyward and see the face of the divine there. There's a cosmic dance on the grand scale and one on the intimate scale going on for each of us. Astrology is the study of patterns and relationships, of planets in motion, our birth chart, synastry with others, the makeup of elements, and using that knowledge as a tool to find meaning. Astrology falls into the category of metaphysics, the study of that which is beyond the physical. It's similar to other fields that are founded on ancient theories of energy patterns like feng shui, acupuncture, and yoga. Astrology at high levels is a mastery of its particular science and the intuitive arts. As the earliest known ordering of existence, long before recorded history, it's been called the mother of all sciences. And I just wanted to say that I'm getting this information from astrology.about.com in their Astrology 101 section, just to clarify. So astrology runs on a celestial clock, and its premise is that the movement of the planets influence the moments in time. And since we're part of the story of the universe, our moment of birth, recorded on the celestial clock, is meaningful. The planets continue to move, engaging with the fixed-in-time energies of our birth chart. Students today can draw on the myths, symbolic associations, and wisdom of past astrologers to come up with their own intuitive language. There are the long cycles of outer planets that show generational trends, and shorter ones like the sun's annual journey through the zodiac. Astrology is an incredible tool of self-discovery, no matter how far you decide to take it. At first, the pieces of the puzzle may not seem to fit, but if you stick with it, at a certain point it clicks, and the orchestrations of the cosmic dance make sense. If life seems like a series of meaningless events, astrology can be a comforting sign that perhaps things happen for a reason. It can shine light on inner contradictions and natural strengths. As a map of the psyche, the birth chart is a guide to self-understanding that never stops revealing new layers of insight. So now we're going to talk about understanding your birth chart a little bit. After learning about, there are three parts to any birth chart: planet, sign, and house. And there's blending that happens in astrology that involves those three. As you learn more, your understanding deepens. You get a sense of what life lessons the Aries sun in the 10th house holds for you, for example. After learning about the planets, signs, and houses, it's time to look at aspects. This is the relationship between the players in your birth chart. Do they square each other, or are they in harmony with trines and sextiles? So where the heck do we start? It's said that there is truth in stereotypes, and that's where they come from in the first place. The essence of each sign has built up a reputation. Gemini is chatty, gossipy, a bright wit. Scorpio is sultry and intense. Virgo is a purist, a neat freak, and so on. Hold those stereotypes loosely as you make your own observations. The sun sign is the essence of the basic nature in the broadest possible strokes. The rest of the chart fills in the details. Hold the sun sign in your mind as you go on to learn about the moon. What kind of Cancer am I? What kind of Leo am I? The rest of your chart tells the story. Astrology also provides cosmic clues as to why you're attracted to, repelled by, or indifferent to those you meet. It helps you take personality clashes less to heart, but also to show potential flags to watch out for. Some connections are sparked by friction, and astrology helps you to take the long view and see them as challenges that cause you both to grow. So with that, I'm going to play a small, short song, and let me randomly pick one here from our deck. Castralia Alexandrian, I will meet you there. Okay, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Thank you all for listening to Sacred Divergence Radio this evening. It's a pleasure.
clustered walls are bare. It will be a slate and for a shade, and I will meet you there, singing lie, lie.
And we're back with Sacred Divergence Radio. I am your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, and tonight we're talking about astrology and Imbolc. And give me one moment and we'll get back to it. I'm just sending a little message to a person here that wants to listen in. Thank you all so much for your patience. Okay, so let's see here. Oh, and good evening in the chat room to my student, Apu Adman Agama. Tonight, Apu, we are talking about astrology and Imbolc, and it's great to have you with us. So, let me continue. With this, and so just a little bit of sun sign wisdom fills you in on the dynamics of your potential romantic alliance. In the delicate beginning, it can shine light on the behavior of the sun signs when romantic interest is piqued. It can also give you a deeper understanding of all your relationships with bosses, siblings, parents, children, friends, and partners. Comparing a couple's birth charts alerts them to areas where their natures could come into conflict. Known as synastry, synastry, this kind of analysis points out the areas to challenge and support each other to fulfill your individual destinies. Astrology shows where karma is being played out, with hard but necessary lessons, and the potential for an alchemical miracle to take place over time. So that gives you guys a little bit of insight into the beginnings of astrology. And astrology comes from the word astro, meaning stars, and logos, meaning language. That's why it's often called the language of the stars. For some, it is just a language used to describe the energies that make up the universe, and for others, it is the observation of the planets and the patterns of energy they create at any given moment. Modern astrology emerged out of an ancient awareness that we are a microcosm of the universe, as I said earlier, as above, so below. Early cultures followed the movements of these planets closely and lived by the seasons, observing the sun's annual journey through the zodiac. They saw that those born under the sun signs had shared traits. The other cosmic bodies were also observed, with the same human curiosity and search for meaning. This knowledge of cycles and patterns has been used to ponder fate, predict events, and even choose a marriage partner. As the search for meaning in the patterns of stars and planets, a system of astrology is found in every culture and tradition, with some having an unbroken lineage. So I have a friend who wants me to read his horoscope. And so I will need the month and day of your birth, my dear friend. So just message me that. And I will be happy to look up your horoscope for you. But let's take a look first at birth charts or natal charts. Your birth or natal chart is the chart that has the position of the planets at the moment of your birth. And this will require the time and place of your birth, as well as the date of your birth, to figure this out. Your birth chart reveals built-in gifts and struggles for this lifetime, along with insights about your personality. Most horoscopes, on the other hand, are based on the sun sign, which are the 12 signs of the zodiac that most people are familiar with. The sun sign is your basic nature and can be a great starting point for learning about astrology. If you're curious, try observing people you know to see how whether or not their sun sign qualities shine through. Many astrologers come up with predictions based on your sun sign and where other planets fall in your solar houses. The solar house is created with your sun sign in the first house and following the zodiac around counterclockwise, around the wheel. To find out your other planets, you'll need to get your hands on your birth chart. When you know the time you were born, you're able to cast an accurate chart with the rising sign in place on the wheel. If you don't know your birth chart, cast a noon chart with 12 o'clock p.m. When you're ready to go deeper, your moon sign reveals your emotional nature, the intimate side that only a trusted few are able to see. For an introduction beyond the sun sign, about.com has an illustrated guide to the planets. And they also have more information about the rising sign and the moon sign. And as far as relationships are concerned, the first thing to look at when reading a potential love partner is to see how well your sun signs traditionally get along with each other. Each of us is a complex blend of all of our planets, so add dimension to your astroanalysis by looking at the moon and rising signs as well. Venus reveals what kinds of friends and lovers you are attracted to, and what makes you attractive to others. Mars reveals what revs up your mojo, and how you pursue the object of your desire. And then there's Mercury. Mercury usually follows the sun closely, and it may be in the same sign. This planet and its aspects to other planets in your birth chart shows your unique communication style. It describes the life of the mind and what gets those wheels turning. Astrology doesn't make much sense when approached solely through the intellect. There's a lot of synthesis involved, and there's always more to learn. It's a field that's said to have shallow brooks and deep fjords, and my advice is dip your pinky toe in, stick with sun signs, and then keep going deeper as your interest grows. Learning about the grouping of signs by elements, fire, water, air, and earth, and qualities, cardinal, fixed, and mutable, is a good foundation for further study. And this is what we will go into now. First, we're going to see about astrology and the elements. And again, the four elements are earth, air, water, and fire. And they are the very elements or energies of life. Many indigenous traditions honor the sacred circle formed by the four elements and seen in the zodiacal wheel. So how do these tie into astrology? Well, each of the 12 planets fall under one of these elements. And let me get you a list. There's an ad playing in the background. Hold on just one second while I mute it. So, the signs in a grouping share certain associations. Fire signs share the spirit, inspired energy, instinctualness, outgoingness, and activeness. Air signs share the mind, intellectualness, ideas, detachedness, social ability, and concepts of ideas. The water signs share the emotions, imagination, nurturing, and introvertedness. And the earth signs share the body, practicality, sensuality, and groundedness. So what are the fire, air, earth, and water signs? Well, the fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. The air signs are Libra, Gemini, and Aquarius. The earth signs are Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo. And the water signs are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And my browser has frozen up on me, so give me one moment to get it back here. And then maybe I will play another song. Oh, I'll wait till the bottom of the hour to play another song, because we're almost at the bottom of the hour. And maybe after this, I will go into the different... Oh, come on, Firefox. Work. Okay, my browser is not cooperating, so I have to restart it. Maybe. If it's not going to cooperate here. Yep, let me just restart the browser. Give me two shakes of a lamb's tail here. And I will get right back to it. Come on, close. I'm sorry, folks. This is unexpected behavior. Here we go. And we're back. Here we go. We're getting back into the studio and in the chat room, hopefully. And it's loading and loading and loading. And yay, we're back. Okay, good. I hope everyone is having a fun time. And we have two guests listening in the chat room. I want to invite our guests to sign up with Blog Talk Radio, and this will enable you to log in and participate in our chat room with Apu and the rest of our people that we have frequently joining us. But Apu right now is the only one that is signed in. So I will attempt to keep an eye on him, and yeah, let's see here. Let me get back to where I was. I'm going to have to search for it because it took me back to the page I was on way, 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 way before. Oh, wait a minute. No, it didn't. I'm on the page that I need to be on. Aha, here we go. So, like the elements, this is a grouping of signs. The qualities are a grouping of signs, but this time it is quadruplicities, or groups of four. Each of the four groupings has a distinct quality and they are known as cardinal, fixed, and mutable. The quality groupings each have a unique way of engaging with the world. The qualities are found in the writings of Ptolemy and seem to have come out of early Greece. Each grouping by quality has one of the four elements. So that means that for each element, there is a cardinal, fixed, and mutable sign within that group too. Cardinal fire behaves in a different way than fixed or mutable fire, and this adds nuance to understanding a particular sign. Each quality is also linked to a particular point in the season. The cardinal signs initiate the season, fixed signs hold it in continuation, and the mutable signs wrap things up and prepare for the seasonal change ahead. So, the cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. The fixed signs are Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus. And the mutable signs are Sagittarius, Pisces, Gemini, and Virgo. Once you get a grasp of the elements and can observe them firsthand in people you know, the quality offers more shades of difference. You can refer to a natal planet being in the quality and element, such as fixed air or mutable water. Once you get a sense of how these qualities behave, merge that with what you know about the element, along with the essence of the sign. It's part of the synthesis that is vital to understanding astrology. The cardinal signs are like the oldest in the family, and full of the self-initiatory spirit. They assert their particular style of leadership through their element. By element, they are Aries, fire, Cancer, water, Libra, air, and Capricorn, earth. The fixed signs dig in, and are able to hold steady in their goals to achieve something solid. It's hard for them to change, which gives them a reputation for being stubborn. But they are respected for their self-containment and sense of purpose. By element, they are Leo, fire, Scorpio, water, Aquarius, air, and Taurus, earth. The mutable signs are flexible, adaptable, and restless for movement and change. They are able to see life from many perspectives, making them great communicators. They represent the breakdown before the next season begins, so there's a touch of chaos to their natures. By element, they are Sagittarius, fire, Pisces, water, Gemini, air, and Virgo, earth. When learning about astrology, try noting the difference between the two qualities by observing two people with planets in the same element. For example, you might have two earth sign friends, giving you a great chance to note the different quality between a Capricorn and a Virgo, for example. It takes time to note these subtleties, especially since we are usually a complex mix of many signs. So to wrap this up, let's go ahead and read my friend's horoscope. I'm sure that I can find one readily. But first, I want to read to you the astrological dates. And so we begin with Aries. This chart begins with Aquarius, which is the 21st of January to the 19th of February. The Pisces is the 20th of February through the 20th of March. Aries is 21st of March through the 20th of April. Taurus is the 21st of April to the 21st of May. The Gemini is 22nd of May to the 21st of June. Cancer is the 22nd of June to the 22nd of July. Leo is the 23rd of July to the 23rd of August. Virgo is the 24th of August to the 23rd of September. Libra is the 24th of September to the 23rd of October. And that's whose sign we'll be reading. Scorpio is the 24th of October through the 22nd of November. Sagittarius is the 23rd of November to the 21st of December. And finally, we have Capricorn, the 22nd of December to the 20th of January. So let's see. Let's find a website that has daily horoscopes. For, what did I say he was? Libra. Because our friend here was born on September 27th. So he is firmly in Libra. And I myself am a steadfast Leo. And Apu, if you would like me to read your horoscope, just give me your birthday and month, and I will be happy to look it up for you. So, for today, for example, the daily horoscope for Libra is as follows. Chemistry is important, but you must be on the same level as the people in your life if you want to find complete harmony. So if you're finding yourself attracted to an opposite personality, be careful. When your energies are different from someone else's, it can be hypnotic and appealing, but these differences can also lead to a lot of conflict. Are you prepared for that? Just be aware that what you think is an intriguing quality now could turn into an annoying one later. And so I think that would relate to anything, really. Your job, your business partners, your romantic partners, your relationships with loved ones, etc. And let's look up the one for Leo while we're at it. Let me see if I can get to it. That was from astrology.com, by the way. Let me go to Daily Horoscope and see if we can't find one for Leo. And then we will talk about in bulk. Okay. So this is the daily horoscope today for Leo. Taking people at their word is not a very wise thing to do today, because all that glitters is definitely not gold. Turn up your skepticism a little bit and don't hesitate to doubt what you hear, especially if it sounds too good to be true. Keep your cards close to your chest and don't give anybody clues about what you're thinking. Being critical of someone doesn't mean that you don't like or trust them. It just means that you are tough to impress. And so I can relate to this a little bit. And I'm interested to know if my Libra friend found anything noteworthy in his, when I read him his. And let's go see if Apu... Oh, Apu is a Taurus. So let's find his. One of your friends is experiencing some relationship problems, and they are letting them affect your friendship a bit too much, in your opinion. They are distracted when they're with you and can only seem to talk about what's bothering them. It's no surprise that your patience is running low. Don't feel guilty about your frustration. Start a conversation with them. Remind them how much you care about them, but show them that by alienating you, they aren't going to help themselves. So a lot of these horoscopes seem to be focused on relationships, which is not a bad thing, but there are bunches and bunches and bunches of other areas, like work and money and home life and other things that horoscopes can delve into as well. But I think that drawing a horoscope is for the advanced practitioner of astrology. Ah, and my friend Oren Vless has arrived. Welcome, Oren Vless, and I hope you enjoy what you hear. We have been talking a bit about astrology. Oh, and it's way past the bottom of the hour, so let me reintroduce my show. I am Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, and all of you are listening to Sacred Divergence Radio, where we talk about a little bit about this and a little bit about that, and we have a good time every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So now we are going to talk about Imbolc, which is one of the Wiccan holidays, and one I have not really had the chance to celebrate in a while. Let me pull up the bit of information that one of my friends had posted earlier today about Imbolc. And we will get started on that topic. Usually what happens during my show is I just talk about whatever comes up, and I'm saying this for Oren Vless's benefit, since he is a brand new listener and has never listened to my show before. He and I are friends from another realm of the internet, and I'm glad that he has decided to listen in. So again, be welcome, make yourself at home, and I think I have the bit about Imbolc here. It was posted earlier today, so I'm not exactly sure where it went. Here we go. So this is a bit about Imbolc lore, and I believe it comes from Wikipedia, but I could be wrong. I'm not exactly sure because the source is not cited. So you know what? Let me just go to Wikipedia, because from there you guys can go and see where each piece came from. So, Imbolc, which is also called Breed's Day or Brigid's Day, is a Gaelic festival marking the beginning of spring. It is most commonly held on the 1st of February, or about halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. Historically, it was widely observed throughout Ireland, Scotland, and the Isle of Man. It is one of the four Gaelic seasonal festivals, along with Beltane, Lunasa, and Samhain, and corresponds to a Welsh holiday, which I am not going to try to pronounce because I will butcher it. Christians observe it as the feast day of St. Brigid, especially in Ireland. Imbolc is mentioned in some of the earliest Irish literature, and there is evidence that it has been an important date since ancient times. It is believed that it was originally a pagan festival associated with the goddess Breed, and that it was Christianized as a festival of St. Breed, who is thought to be a Christianization of the goddess. At Imbolc, Breed's crosses were made, and a doll-like figure of Breed, called a Breed dog, would be paraded from house to house. Breed was said to visit one's home at Imbolc. To receive her blessings, people would make a bed for Breed and leave her food and drink, while items of clothing would be left outside for her to bless. Breed was also invoked to protect homes and livestock. Special feasts were had, holy wells were visited, and it was also a time for divination. Although many of its customs died out in the 20th century, it is still observed, and in some places it has been revived as a cultural event. Since the latter 20th century, Celtic neo-pagans and Wiccans have observed Imbolc, or something based on it, as a religious holiday. The etymology of Imbolg is unclear. The most common explanation is that it comes from the Old Irish Imbolc, meaning in the belly, and refers to the pregnancy of ewes, or female goats. Another possibility is the Old Irish Imfolc, to wash or cleanse oneself, referring to a ritual cleansing. Eric P. Hamp derives it from a Proto-Indo-European root, meaning both milk and cleansing. Professor Alan Ward derives it from the Proto-Celtic embiblogon, or budding. The 10th century Cormac's glossary derives it from oimilk, or ewe's milk, but many scholars see this as folk etymology. Nevertheless, some neo-pagans have adopted oimilk as a name for the festival. Since Imbolc is immediately followed on 2nd of February by Candlemas, or the feast day of the Mary of the Candles, Irish Imbolc is sometimes translated into English as Candlemas. The date of Imbolc is thought to have been significant in Ireland since the Neolithic period. This is based on the alignment of some megalithic monuments. For example, at the Mound of the Hostages on the Hill of Tara, the inner chamber is aligned with the rising of the sun on the dates of Imbolc and Samhain. In Gaelic Ireland, Imbolc was the feast or festival marking the beginning of spring, during which great feasts were held. It is attested in some of the earliest Old Irish literature from the 10th century onward. It was one of the four Gaelic seasonal festivals, Samhain, on or around the 1st of November, Imbolc, on or around the 1st of February, Beltane, on or around the 1st of May, and Lunasa, on or around the 1st of August. From the 18th century to the mid-20th century, many accounts of St. Breed's Day were recorded by folklorists and other writers. They tell us how it was celebrated then, and shed light on how it might have been celebrated in the past. Imbolc has been traditionally celebrated on the 1st of February. However, because this day was deemed to begin and end at sunset, the celebrations would start on what is now the 31st of January. It has also been argued that the timing of the festival was originally more fluid and based on seasonal changes. It has been associated with the onset of the lambing season, which could vary by as much as 2 weeks before or after 1st of February, and the blooming of blackthorn. The holiday was a festival of the hearth and home, and a celebration of the lengthening days and the early signs of spring. Celebration often involves hearth fires, special foods, divination or watching for omens, candles, or a bonfire if the weather permitted. Fire and purification were an important part of the festival. The lighting of candles and fires represented the return of warmth and the increasing power of the sun over the coming months. A spring cleaning was also customary. Holy wells were also visited in Imbolc and at the other Gaelic festivals of Beltane and Lunasa. Visitors to holy wells would pray for health while walking sunwise around the well. They would then leave offerings, typically coin or clouties. Water from the well was used to bless the home, family members, livestock, and fields. Donald Alexander Mackenzie also recorded that the offerings were made to earth and sea. The offering could be milk poured into the ground or porridge poured into the water as a libation. Imbolc is strongly associated with Saint Brigid, or Breed. Saint Breed is thought to have been based on Breed, who is a Celtic goddess. The festival, which celebrates the onset of spring, is thought to be linked with Breed in her role as a fertility goddess. On Imbolc Eve, Breed was said to visit the virtuous households and bless the inhabitants. As Breed represented the light half of the year and the power that will bring people from the dark season of winter into spring, her presence was very important at this time of year. Families would have a special meal or supper on Imbolc Eve. This usually included food such as colcannon, sowens, dumplings, barmbrack, and or bannocks. Often, some of the food and drink would be set aside for Breed. Breed would be symbolically invited into the house, and a bed would often be made for her. In the north of Ireland, a family member representing Breed would circle the home three times carrying rushes. They would then knock the door three times, asking to be let in. On the third attempt, they are welcomed in, the meal is had, and the rushes are then made into a bed or crosses. In the 18th century Man, the custom was said to stand at the door with a bundle of rushes and say, "Breed, Breed, come to my house tonight. Open the door for Breed and let Breed come in." The rushes were then strewn on the floor as a carpet or bed for Breed. In the 19th century, some old Manx women would make a bed for Breed in the barn with food, ale, and a candle on a table. In the Hebrides, in the late 18th century, a bed of hay would be made for Breed, and someone would then call out three times, "A Breed, Thig a Stig, Asgab Dulibad. Breed, Breed, come in. Thy bed is ready." A white wand, usually made of birch, would be set by the bed. It represented the wand that Breed was said to use to make the vegetation start growing again. In the 19th century, women in the Hebrides would dance while holding a large cloth and call out, "Breed, Breed, come over and make your bed." However, by this time the bed itself was rarely made. Before going to bed, people would leave items of clothing or strips of cloth outside for Breed to bless. Ashes from the fire would be raked smooth, and in the morning, they would look for some kind of mark in the ashes as a sign that Breed had visited. The clothes or strips of cloth would be brought inside and believed to now have powers of healing and protection. In Ireland and Scotland, the representation of Breed would be paraded around the community by girls and young women. Sometimes the representative was a girl, but usually it was a doll-like figure known as a Breed Hog, or Biddy. It would be made from rushes or reeds and clad in bits of cloth, shells, and or flowers. In the Hebrides of Scotland, a bright shell or crystal called Guiding Star of Breed was set on its chest. The girls would carry it in procession while singing a hymn to Breed. All wore white in their hair, with their hair unbound, as a symbol of purity and youth. They visited every house in the area, where they received either food or more decoration for the Breedhog. Afterwards, they feasted in a house with the Breedhog set at the place of honor, and put it to bed with lullabies. When the meal was done, the local young men humbly asked for admission, made obeisance to the Breedhog, and joined the girls in dancing and merrymaking parts. Only unwed girls could carry the Breedhog, but in some places, both boys and girls carried it. In the late 17th century, Catholic families in the Hebrides would make a bed for the Breedhog out of a basket. Up until the mid-20th century, children in Ireland still went house to house asking for pennies for poor Biddy, or money for the poor. In Count Kerry, men in white robes went from house to house singing. In Ireland, Breed's crosses were made in bulk. A Breed's cross usually consists of rushes woven into a square or equilateral cross, although three-armed crosses have also been recorded. They were often hung over doors, windows, and stables to welcome breed and protect the buildings from fire and lightning. The crosses were generally left there until next Imolc. In western Connacht, people would make a breed's girdle, a great ring of rushes with a cross woven in the middle. Young boys would carry it around the village, inviting people to step through it and so be blessed. Today, some people still make breed's crosses and breed dogs, or visit holy wells dedicated to St. Breed on the 1st of February. Imolc was traditionally a time of weather divination, and the old tradition of watching to see if serpents or badgers came from their winter dens may be a forerunner of the North American Groundhog Day. A Scottish Gaelic proverb about the day is, "The serpent will come from the hole on the brown day of Breed, though there should be 3 feet of snow on the flat surface of the ground." Imolc was believed to be Celtic tradition, gathers her firewood for the rest of the winter. Legend has it that if she wishes to make the winter last a good while longer, she will make sure that the weather on Imolc is bright and sunny so that she can gather plenty of firewood. Therefore, people would be relieved if Imolc is a day of foul weather, as it means that the Ceiliach is asleep and winter is almost over. At Imolc on the Isle of Man, where she is known as Ceilag ni Gromag, the Ceiliach is said to take the form of a gigantic bird carrying sticks in her beak. Imolc or Imolc-based festivals are held by some neo-pagans. As there are many kinds of neo-pagan, their Imolc celebrations can be very different despite the shared name. Some try to emulate the historic festival as much as possible. Other neo-pagans base their celebrations on many sources, with historic accounts of Imolc being only one of them. Neo-pagans usually celebrate Imolc on the 1st of February in the Northern Hemisphere and the 1st of August in the Southern Hemisphere. Some neo-pagans celebrate it at the astrological midpoint between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, or the full moon nearest this point. In the Northern Hemisphere, this is usually on the 3rd or 4th of February. Other neo-pagans celebrate Imolc when the primroses, dandelions, and other spring flowers emerge. Celtic Reconstructionists strive to reconstruct the pre-Christian religions of the Celts. Their religious practices are based on research and historical accounts, but may be modified slightly to suit modern life. They avoid syncretism, for example, combining the practices from different cultures. They usually celebrate the festival when the first stirrings of spring are felt, or on the full moon nearest this. Many use traditional songs and rites from sources such as the Silver Bow and the Carmina Gadelica. It is a time of honoring the goddess Breed, and many of her dedicants choose this time of year for rituals to her. Wiccans celebrate something based on Imolc as one of the 8 Sabbats in their Wheel of the Year, following midwinter and preceding Ostara. In Wicca, Imolc is commonly associated with the goddess Breed, and as such, it is sometimes seen as a women's holiday, with specific rites only for female members of a coven. Among Dianic Wiccans, Imolc is the traditional time for initiations. Oh my goodness, so that is a bit tonight about astrology and Imolc. Thank you to all the Wikipedia contributors, and to everyone at about.com, or astrology.about.com, rather, for their contributions. And we're going to wrap it up here this evening. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we're going to play a short song, and then I will come back and say our goodnights. And let's play Bone Poets Orchestra Oracle. If it will play, I'm not sure. I haven't played this song in a while, so we're going to see. It's about 5 minutes long. I hope you enjoy, and we'll be back soon. Come away.
is up to. She got business to conclude. She is older than creation, and she ain't got time for fools. Do you really want to see some future in the palm of your hand? Tell me, what's it gonna be? Do you really think you really want to understand?
Was Bone Poets Orchestra Oracle. And I want to say goodnight to everyone. Goodnight to Apu and Ornvlus in the chat room. And I will see you all next week right here at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sacred Divergence Radio for another exciting episode. If you guys have any suggestions for a topic, please, please, please email me at sacreddivergenceradio@gmail.com or lizhamilton88@gmail.com, and I will be happy to talk about whatever it is that you guys want me to talk about as long as it's PG-13. So there we have it, folks, and that's it for tonight. I want to thank you again, and may you all blessed be.
Thank you for listening to Sacred Divergence Radio with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth, and friends on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a topic for us to discuss on air? Connect with Reverend Elizabeth at sacreddivergenceradio@gmail.com. and on Twitter at SDivergence with hashtag TopicHat. See you next week at 10 p.m. Eastern here on Sacred Divergence Radio and the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.